Okay, let's unpack this because right now, if you look across LinkedIn, the phrase generative AI certification preferred is just quietly replacing traditional degree requirements.
Oh, yeah, it's everywhere. I mean, from these tiny lean startups to massive Fortune 500 enterprises, you see it on every job posting.
Right. But in a world where, literally everyone and their mother can type a prompt into ChatGPT, how do you actually prove to an employer that you aren't just like a dabbler? So welcome to today's deep dive.
Exactly. And if you're listening to this, you are probably right in the middle of this massive shift in the job market, you know?
Yeah, you know you need to adapt, but I mean, the sheer volume of information out there is just overwhelming.
The noise is absolutely deafening. You log online, and every single person with a keyboard is suddenly claiming to be this AI guru.
Right, selling some masterclass, which is exactly why we are diving into this comprehensive 2026 guide from Brawley AI today to help you navigate this incredibly wild world of generative AI certifications.
It's a jungle out there right now, honestly.
It really is. So our mission for you today is simple. We are going to arm you with the exact knowledge you need so you can walk into like any enrollment conversation, look at their syllabus, and know precisely how to separate a real career-changing credential from just a basic glorified tutorial.
Because the question isn't really whether you should learn AI anymore, right? I mean, that ship has sailed.
Yeah, the question is how you prove you can actually build with it.
What's fascinating here is that distinction between claiming a skill and actually proving it, that is the entire ballgame right now.
Absolutely.
Because generative AI has made this lightning-fast transition from being just a quirky novelty in a research lab to, well, a foundational workplace tool.
Yeah, the source material draws a really strong parallel here, which I loved. Think about how spreadsheet literacy or like basic coding transitioned over the last few decades.
Oh, that's a great comparison.
Right, like they started out as these highly specialized niche skills, and then suddenly they just became general purpose capabilities. Like
Yeah.
everyone was expected to at least understand them.
And you see it happening in real time now. I mean, writers are using it to brainstorm outlines. Finance teams are automating these massive quarterly reports.
Biologists modeling protein structures. I mean, it's infiltrating every single department.
But, you know, that widespread adoption creates a massive gap in the labor market. Because it's so accessible at the surface level, you have like millions of people who are just aware of the
We
possibilities.
can chat with a bot.
Exactly. But there is a severe shortage of people who have the technical ability to actually execute those possibilities securely, you know, at an enterprise level.
Right, which is where the whole proof problem comes in.
Exactly. And it's why employers are drawing a really hard line between taking a course and holding a certification.
Let's actually put a pin in that because the marketing language out there deliberately blurs those two words, doesn't it?
Oh, all the time.
Like a course teaches you a topic, you watch a self-paced video playlist on a Saturday afternoon, maybe you answer three multiple choice questions, and boom, you get a shiny digital badge.
A very nice looking badge, but yeah.
Right. But a certification is entirely different. I mean, it requires an objective assessment.
Yeah, usually a proctored exam or a graded peer-reviewed project that's actually recognized by an industry third party.
It sounds like the difference between binge watching a cooking show over the weekend versus having a MasterChef actually taste and grade your food.
That is exactly it. A certification tells a hiring manager that an external objective authority has verified your competence. You didn't just passively absorb the information.
You actually applied it under pressure.
Yeah.
But wait, let me push back on this for a second, because my grandmother uses ChatGPT to write her weekly grocery lists.
Right, sure.
So if the barrier to entry is literally just, can you type a sentence in plain English? Why on earth do I need a rigorous proctored certification for that?
Well, the low barrier to entry is exactly why the certification matters so much. I mean, anyone can type a basic prompt, but let's say you work at a bank, right?
Yeah.
And you want an AI to summarize a client's financial history. You can't just copy and paste their private data into a public web browser.
Oh, right. Compliance nightmare.
Massive nightmare. Very few people actually know how to securely connect an AI model to a company's private internal database without leaking data everywhere.
Right, the stakes are way higher.
Exactly. And even fewer people know how to build unsupervised AI agents that can, you know, break down a complex goal, browse the internet, verify facts, and complete multi-step tasks without a human holding their hand the entire time.
So the certification basically acts as a filter. It proves you are an implementer, not just someone dabbling on the weekends.
Yes, that is the exact word, implementer.
Okay, so if the goal is proving to an employer that you are a true implementer, we probably need to look under the hood of these programs.
We definitely do.
Because the label generative AI is just slapped on everything right
now. Yeah.
And the Brawley AI guide warns that this generic title can hide some seriously weak substance.
Oh, definitely.
So what exactly should a real syllabus look like?
Well, if you are going to invest your hard-earned money and your time, the curriculum has to go way beyond basic prompting.
Right.
First, you need a deep understanding of the foundational models themselves. So ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini, open source models like Llama.
You need to know how they work.
Yeah, how they are architected and where they meaningfully differ. Because you have to be able to choose the right model for the right task. You can't just be a one-tool wonder.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because the guide outlines this advanced tech stack that any legitimate program absolutely must cover. Prompt engineering is in there, sure.
Sure, yeah.
But then it gets into AI agents, which are those autonomous systems you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And it heavily emphasizes ARAG, which stands for Retrieval Augmented Generation, along exactly with vector databases.
Yes. And I would say ARAG is arguably the most important concept in enterprise AI right now.
Agree.
Oh, absolutely. It solves the biggest problem with language models, which is hallucinations.
Right, just making things up.
Exactly. Because an AI model is trained on the public internet up to a certain date, right? Mm-hmm. So if you ask it about your company's proprietary Q3 earnings report that was just finalized yesterday, it has no idea.
Right, it wasn't on the internet.
So left to its own devices, it might just guess and give you this incredibly confident but entirely fake answer.
Which is terrifying for a business.
Exactly. Think of a standard AI as this brilliant lawyer who is taking the bar exam entirely from memory.
Okay.
ARAG changes the game by basically giving that same lawyer an open book test with your company's proprietary legal library sitting right in front of them.
Oh, wow. So the retrieval part is the system physically fetching your specific company documents.
Yes.
And then the augmented generation part is the AI reading those very specific documents before it opens its mouth to answer.
That's the core of it, yeah. But to actually make R work, you need a way to store all your company's documents so the AI can read them instantly.
Right, which brings us to vector databases, which the syllabus says is completely mandatory. But how is a vector database different from, say, just a normal Excel spreadsheet where I keep a list of my files?
Well, a standard database looks for exact keyword matches. So if you search for the word feline, it only finds documents that explicitly contain the word feline.
Okay, makes sense.
But a vector database doesn't actually store words. It stores the mathematical meaning of words as coordinates in this massive multidimensional space.
Whoa. Wait, so...
Yeah, so in the space, the coordinate for feline is physically located right next to the coordinate for cat and kitten.
Oh, I see. So when the AI is trying to answer a question, it's not just doing a dumb keyword search.
No.
It's actually searching for concepts that live in the same mathematical neighborhood.
Yes, exactly. It allows the AI to instantly pull relevant information based on the context, even if the exact words don't match up.
That is wild.
It really is. And learning how to build that infrastructure, along with API-level integration so these models can actually talk to your company's existing software, that is what separates a toy from a real enterprise engine.
Okay, so if I pay for a program, and the syllabus is basically just, I don't know, a 10-hour video series on how to write slightly more polite and detailed prompts for ChatGPT.
Then you are getting ripped off.
Yeah. Am I basically getting ripped off?
In the context of a 2026 professional credential?
Absolutely.
You're paying a premium for a tiny fraction of the necessary skill set.
Right.
And honestly, the ultimate red flag you need to watch out for is the absence of a capstone project. A genuine certification must require you to build an end-to-end system from scratch.
Because employers don't want to just look at a multiple choice score. I mean, they want a portfolio.
The capstone project is the ultimate currency right now. It bridges that theoretical familiarity with actual applied skill.
So you can actually prove it.
Exactly. It allows you to sit in a job interview, and instead of just saying, oh, I understand the concept of RAG, you literally slide your laptop over and say, I built a customized RAG workflow for a mock HR department, and here is the functioning code.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
So, okay, we know the anatomy of a good curriculum now, but how do you actually choose a program? because the landscape is incredibly fragmented.
It really is.
You've got universities, tech giants, independent boot camps. It's a lot.
It helps to split the landscape into two main categories, really.
Yeah.
You have ecosystem-specific programs, and then you have tool-agnostic programs.
Okay.
On the ecosystem side, you have credentials like the Google Cloud Professional ML Engineer or Microsoft Azure AI Engineer or the AWS Certified AI Practitioner.
Those sound incredibly specialized. Like, I imagine they teach you how to build AI, but only using their specific brand of tools, right?
They do, yeah. And look, those are fantastic programs if your company's already locked into that specific tech stack.
Right, if you already know what you're using.
Exactly. If your entire enterprise runs on Microsoft Azure, then getting the Azure certification is a highly strategic career move. But if you don't know where you'll be working next year, you really risk locking yourself into just one vendor's way of doing things.
Which brings us to the tool agnostic or academic side.
Mm.
The source mentions things like the Coursera Gen specialization, Udacity Deep Learning, and edX professional certificates.
Right. And those dive deep into the underlying math and the architecture. Hmm. For example, a GAN is a generative adversarial network.
Okay, that sounds intense. What is the adversarial part of that?
Think of it kind of like a counterfeiter and a cop.
Oh, I like this.
You basically have two AI models fighting each other. One model's job, the counterfeiter, is to create fake images that look as realistic as possible.
Okay.
And the other model's job is to act like a detective and spot the fakes. And they just constantly train each other.
Wow.
The counterfeiter keeps getting better at forging, and the cop keeps getting better at detecting, until eventually the generated images are basically indistinguishable from reality.
That is wild.
Yeah.
But, you know, knowing how to build a GAN from scratch feels a little bit academic if I just want to automate my marketing workflow.
Yeah, for most people it probably is.
Which is why the source highlights the job ready or applied category,
mm-hmm.
using Brawley AI's generative AI certification as a kind of a prime example of this.
Right.
It's based in Hyderabad, but the curriculum is globally relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And they offer online, live, hybrid, and offline formats, all with the exact same curriculum and mentorship.
And when you look at that applied category, the focus really shifts from academic research to practical implementation.
Makes sense.
You aren't tied to AWS or Google. You are learning the overarching principles of how to connect any model to any database.
It's like choosing between going to a specialized training center to learn how to repair, like a 2024 Ford Mustang, versus going to a comprehensive trade school to become a master mechanic who can just open the hood and fix anything.
That's a perfect analogy. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it really comes down to aligning your choice with your career goals. Do you want to be tied to a cloud vendor, or do you want broad applied skills? But regardless of the path you choose, the source gives us 8 concrete criteria for comparing these programs.
And they make it very clear. Never compare on price alone.
Never. Yeah. You have to look at things like, is there a real proctored assessment? What is the depth of the curriculum? Is there live instruction?
Right.
Are there hands-on projects? Does it cover multiple tools? Do you get dedicated mentor support?
Mm-hmm.
Is there access to recorded sessions? And, you know, what kind of career outcome support is provided?
Those last few seem crucial, especially the mentor support and the recorded sessions. I mean, if I'm trying to build a vector database for the first time and my code keeps crashing at 2 a.m., I need to be able to rewatch the lecture.
Or better yet, get a human mentor on a call to actually look at your screen.
Exactly. So if you score programs against those 8 pillars before you even look at the price tag, you will probably filter out 90% of the noise.
Oh, easily.
But let's actually talk about that price tag, though, because we need to deal with the industry realities here.
Yeah.
Say I find the perfect program. It hits all 8 criteria. For a proper mentor-led program, we are looking at an investment of around 35 to 40,000 rupees.
That's the typical range, yeah.
So if I am paying that out of pocket, what is the actual ROI here? Does dropping that kind of money actually pay off?
Well, it's the most important question for any learner to ask. And yeah. The honest reality is that no piece of paper magically guarantees you a job.
Right, of course.
But what it does provide is a verifiable credential and a really robust portfolio. And in today's market, professionals who can demonstrate applied Gen AI skills are just commanding a significant salary premium over their uncertified peers.
Even if they hold the exact same job title.
Exactly.
The source outlines 2 distinct paths. This opens up, actually. Path 1 is pivoting entirely. You become a dedicated AI operations specialist or, you know, a lead prompt engineer.
Right.
But path 2 is arguably way more common, applying AI to supercharge the job you already have.
Yes, and look at how it's transforming specific industries right now. I mean, software developers aren't just using it to write boilerplate code anymore.
What are they doing?
They are using AI agents to actively hunt for vulnerabilities and debug complex legacy systems.
Wow.
And cybersecurity teams, they're feeding massive logs of network traffic into these unsupervised models to detect really subtle anomalies that a human would just never spot.
So they're predicting attacks before they even happen.
Exactly.
And the source mentions retail, which is fascinating to me. It's not just basic sales tracking anymore. Retailers are feeding weather patterns, social media sentiment trends, and global economic indicators into AI agents to forecast exactly how much inventory a specific store will need, like 3 weeks in advance.
It's incredible. And marketing is seeing a complete revolution too. It's moving way beyond just, having an AI write a quick blog post. Marketing teams are building systems that automatically generate hundreds of variations of an ad, analyze the live A/B test data at scale, and then autonomously reallocate the ad budget to the winning variations in real time.
So if I'm a human resources professional looking at this certification, I'm not necessarily trying to become a Silicon Valley software engineer,
Right, not at all.
I'm just trying to become an AI-empowered HR professional. Like, I could build an agent that securely reads incoming resumes, cross-references them with our internal job requirements, and then generates a personalized interview guide for the
Well,
hiring manager.
yes, and you can do that using API integrations without having to write a massive code base from scratch.
Right.
Generative AI is basically a force multiplier for whatever domain expertise you already possess. When you look at the sheer amount of manual labor it eliminates, a 35 to 40,000 rupee investment looks incredibly small in hindsight.
Yeah, I mean, if you walk into your next performance review and prove you've automated 40% of your department's busy work, that certification pays for itself in the first negotiation.
Exactly. It completely changes the conversation.
The value is undeniably there. But let's get into the trenches for a minute. How do you actually survive one of these rigorous programs?
It takes work, I won't lie.
Because we are talking about dense material, complex tech stacks, and most of us are trying to learn this while working a full-time job.
Time management is the single biggest differentiator between learners who finish with a stellar portfolio and those who just burn out halfway through.
Yeah.
You cannot cram for an applied technical certification. It requires very consistent, structured practice.
Which is why the guide heavily recommends the Pomodoro technique, like
Yes.
25 minutes of highly focused phone in another room study, followed by a strict 5-minute break. I guess it prevents cognitive overload.
It really does.
It also stresses prioritizing your weak topics rather than just reviewing what you're already good at and taking timed practice tests to simulate the actual pressure of the proctored exam.
Definitely. But beyond time management, you have to use the right technical resources too. The source points to platforms like Kaggle and Google Colab.
Wait, why are those so important?
Well, if you try to run some of these advanced machine learning models locally on like a 5-year-old laptop,
She's gonna crash.
oh, your computer will probably freeze or just completely overheat. Google Colab is this browser-based platform that lets you write and execute code using Google's massive cloud servers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it basically gives you access to the computing power you need for free. And Kaggle is this incredible community where data scientists share data sets and host competitions. It's easily the best place to find real-world data to practice on.
And the guide also says you should be living in the official documentation for frameworks like TensorFlow or PyTorch.
Absolutely.
It also points to foundational theory, though. It specifically highlights the textbook Deep Learning by Ian Goodfellow. And so, what does this all mean? I have to pause here.
Okay, sure.
Because if I'm an HR professional or a marketer just trying to build a workflow using an API, do I really need to read a dense, math-heavy, deep learning textbook from an AI researcher? I mean, that feels like overkill.
That this raises an important question, and it's a totally fair point. It really gets to the heart of how deep your knowledge needs to go.
Right.
For foundational applied certifications, no, you don't need to be able to write the underlying calculus from scratch. But diving into resources like Goodfellow's book gives you a really robust theoretical foundation.
Okay, but how?
For instance, understanding what a transformer architecture is, the T in ChatGPT.
How does understanding a transformer actually help me at work, though, if I'm just using the tool?
Well, a transformer model uses a mechanism called self-attention to weigh the importance of different words in a sentence. It looks at the whole context simultaneously rather than just reading left to right.
Oh.
If you understand that underlying mechanism, you understand how the AI thinks. So when your model hallucinates or breaks down or gives you a biased output, you aren't just blindly guessing how to fix it.
Oh, I see.
You understand the structural why behind the error. The theory allows you to actually troubleshoot the application.
It's like knowing the physics of how a car's engine handles fuel and air. You don't necessarily need to be the person who manufactured the engine.
Right.
But knowing the physics means when the car stalls on the highway, you know exactly where to look to fix it. You aren't just kicking the tires.
Exactly. That foundational knowledge is what makes you resilient to changes in the software. Because the tools will change, but the math doesn't.
All right, let's bring this all together. If you take one thing away from this 2026 Brawley AI guide, it's that a true generative AI certification is about proving what you can build in the real world. It is not about passing a vocabulary test. It's about securing a portfolio filled with RAE systems, autonomous agents, and seamless API integrations.
Right.
It is the definitive shift from just putting a buzzword on your resume to demonstrating undeniable capability.
And demonstration is really the only currency employers care about in a crowded market right now.
Before we go, though, I was thinking about the shelf life of all this.
Oh.
Yeah, the guide mentions that while these certifications don't officially expire, the AI landscape shifts constantly. Like the tools we use today might look entirely different in 8 months.
Oh, they definitely will.
But what happens when the tools get so advanced that they take over the building process entirely? Think about this. If these unsupervised AI agents get so good that they can autonomously write, debug, and execute their own complex code architectures.
Which is where things are heading.
Right. Will the next generation of AI certifications in 2030 even be for humans?
Wow.
Or will we find ourselves in this bizarre reality where we are essentially certifying the AI agents themselves before we allow them to work on our networks?
Now, that is an incredible thing to think about. I mean, the human role might shift entirely from being the builder to essentially being the auditor.
It's just managing the machines that do the building?
Yeah.
It's definitely something to ponder as you look at your own upskilling journey. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been great.
Keep questioning the noise, keep adapting your skills, and most importantly, keep exploring. We'll see you next time.